Recordings are started.
Thank you very much, Ian. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the SCI Subteam B call on the 20th of January 2016. On the call today, we have Anik Manskalis, Sarah Bocchi, and Wolf Ulrich Schnurben. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Julie Headland, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you.
Thank you. This is Anne Aikman-Scalise, and I'm vice chair of the STI. This is a sub-team meeting for an assignment from GNSO Council to the STI to work on operating procedures for the election of council chair and vice chairs. The request was from Amr Alsader. I'm not sure it's pronounced correctly, but from Amr. And there were, in fact, four specific issues identified. And I think it's helpful for us to focus on what those four issues are as we talk about how to address the request. And hopefully staff can capture these in the notes. But And certainly, for those on the call, please do correct me if you think I've got this wrong. But we're discussing Section 2.2 of the GNSO operating procedures. And the first issue that was identified is that it appears that the GNSO chair who is elected must be a current member of the GNSO council. And a question arose as to whether candidates for chair should be limited to those who are incumbent and continuing council members. Is there somebody who can capture that in the notes?
Hi, Anne. This is Julie Headland for the transcript. Actually, what I have in the, and I was just going to type this in the chat room, but the review request is in the chat room, and number five of the review request actually delineates the various issues that were raised. So, exactly.
I'm speaking from number five. That's correct. And what I've done yesterday is I went through number five and identified four issues because they start with sentences like the first issue, and then it says the second issue, and then it says the third issue, and then it says fourthly. So it's number five that I'm speaking from.
Great, and I have that up. And people, and the document is unsynced, so people can actually go to that section, in the document.
Okay. Does anybody need more time to read section five? I'm not seeing any hands. So, Julie, are we able to – what I'm trying to do is simplify the description of the task, and that's why I'm requesting the notes.
Anne, this is Julie Headland. Could we ask if anybody is not clear on what is in the description and the request? Otherwise, it would seem that I would probably just copy what's in the request and copy it under notes actions. I could put a break between each of those, but
I'm just trying to find a shorter, simple way to identify the task. But I see that Wolf Ulrich has his hand up, so I'll call on Wolf. Go ahead, Wolf Ulrich.
Yes, thank you, Anne, and thank you all together. Wolf Ulrich speaking. I think it is. Okay with me if we also for Sarah especially, so I don't know where you come from, Sarah. I'm sorry, I don't know you personally, so to repeat, let me say, what is in under number five, so these four issues, well, to make it clear between us, you know, that the understanding that we have a common understanding of those issues. So in this regard, I would support what Anne is going to do with what she just started to do. Then we can talk about whether we have the same understanding of the issues herein. So that's how I see, you know, how you do that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Wolf Ulrich. And for Julie, I was going to just simply give you a short phrase that could be put in the notes for each issue, and then we can agree on whether it's properly described or not. Really what I would say, Julie, is coming from paragraph 5, first issue is, does council chair need to be an incumbent continuing council member? And then see section 2.2b. Okay, and then the second issue that I believe is identified is, what should be done if no chair is conclusively elected and the vice chairs are also leaving the council?
Angie Graves is here. Apologies.
Hey, Angie. Welcome. We're just kind of outlining the basic four issues in paragraph 5 of the request from GNSO Council. And the first issue had to do with whether or not the chair of the GNSO Council must be an incumbent continuing council member, and that relates to section 2.2b of the operating procedures. The second question being, what happens when there's no conclusive results from the chair election and both vice chairs are going off council at that particular annual meeting? The issue here is based on section 2.2F, and the problem is if there's no conclusive chair election and both vice chairs go off council, what happens under the operating procedures? Because the vice chairs are supposed to step in if there is no conclusive chair election. Then the third issue is in relation to a much more, I think, procedural matter, which is that the GNSO Council is supposed to post-election results within 2 business days following each election and runoff ballot. And the mechanism for doing so is not specified in the operating procedures, so suggestion is it might be helpful to specify that mechanism to inform the board and community within 2 business days after each election or runoff ballot. And then the fourth issue is, again, much more procedural. And, let me do say this, that the third issue involves section 2.2G of the operating procedures. And the fourth issue is also procedural in that section 2.2 doesn't set out a timetable for GNSO chair election. And the operating procedures should potentially. Describe a timetable or what's called a modality for setting a timetable for nominations and elections in each of the cycles. So those are the four issues. And Wolfori, I'll go ahead and recognize you. I see your hand is up, or is that an old hand?
No, thank you. And it's a new hand.
New hand, okay.
I was just wondering whether we start issue by issue then to discuss the understanding of that. So I would say, what I can see from the notes Julie was doing here, that I understood the number one as a question in this way, but in addition, it seems to imply that we could question whether the council chair must be a member at all. I think that is not a council member at all. I think that, or could it come from, could it be an external person or so? I think that is not the question. I think it is in the rules, it is fixed that the council chair should be a person, a council member. It's just a question, is it one, an incumbent, or is it a new one, or what else? So this is my understanding of that. So far, thanks.
Thank you, Wolfori. If I could summarize what you just said, I think you believe that the way this is stated should probably be modified to, should candidates or should incoming council members be eligible? Is that a better way to phrase the question that we're going to address from your standpoint?
It shouldn't be rephrased. I was just explaining my opinion. We could add that, I understand it in this way to be discussed. So we could fix it, let me say, from my point of view, to say, as the rules are saying, the council chair should come from the council, should be a council member, full stop. That is one. It's not a question, it is just an answer, which I would give. And then the other question is, should it be then a member, so a new one, or could it be an incumbent one, or whatever. So it shouldn't be rephrased.
Okay, I think it's actually a bit clearer the way that we have it now, but I do want to make sure, this is Anne again, that I've captured what you're talking about clearly. Wolfori, do you think it's within scope for us to be looking at whether a chair may be someone who is not a council member? I would have thought that that would not be in scope of the request, that the only question posed was in relation to whether it's a continuing council member or a new council member standing for chair.
Yes, I agree. So, Wolfori speaking, so I'm also of the opinion it's not in scope. We're on to
the okay. So really, we are only talking about council members, whether they are continuing or new. Is the chair limited to those who are continuing, or could new council members be eligible? Now, it might make sense to have a bit of substantive discussion on that first question just to kind of see where we all are on it. Now, I've never served on council. I know Wolf Ulrich has. I'm looking for opinions from the participants whether or not, you've served on council. What are your thoughts with your knowledge of GNSO council as to whether the chair position should be limited to continuing council members? Sarah. I'll call on Sarah Bakke. Let us know your thoughts.
Yes, this is Sarah Bakke from Transcript. So I'm new to this, so forgive me if I misspeak, but my thought would be that it is possible to have new incoming counselors who have possibly served before who have a vast amount of knowledge, so that the fact that they are newly seated would not necessarily be an issue. And in that case, I mean, we would might need to, you know, specify some parameters, but I would think if particularly if someone had served before on council and went away for a few years and then came back, they would most definitely be qualified, just as someone who had been on the council the previous year. So it sort of, I think it sort of crosses over into the incumbent area, even though they're new. That's just my thought.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Wolf Ulrich, what are your thoughts?
Yes, thank you, Wolf Ulrich speaking. Well, I fully agree to what Angie was saying. So I'm fully convinced that each council member per se could be a potential council chair. It is a member, so, and the council is going to elect from its member one person who should chair the council. So everybody is eligible. So we were discussing that in the beginning of the when the new GNSO was built up several years ago, the new council was built up that time and the GNSO structure as well. Which council is the one who is going to elect the chair? And it's clear. And therefore, we have at the annual meeting these separated sessions, the old council and the new city council. And the newly city council consists of the new members and is going, well, to elect one person from its members. So it's very clear that the new, as well as the incumbent, the continuing council members, are members of this council who where somebody should be elected. And that's clear for me that all new council members are also eligible. That's my opinion. Thanks.
I see. Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. I note that in request, there's a summary of 2.2b that suggests that, as phrased, that the operating procedures limit candidates for chair to only the incumbent and continuing council members. So if we as a group develop a consensus that the incoming members should also be eligible, we would need to recommend a change to clarify that in the operating procedures. Angie, may I pull you on your thoughts with respect to eligibility of new incoming council members?
I don't see that there should be a distinction myself. Thank you.
Okay. I would say then, at the very least, among the four on this call, that we all seem to believe that incoming council members should be eligible to stand for chair. And then what I wasn't clear on, I just want to make sure in talking with Sarah, Sarah, when you were speaking of, you know, it being quite possible that an incoming council member has a good deal of experience, I believe that you were limiting your comments to incoming council members, but were you saying that there should be a set of parameters or qualifications for an incoming council member, that person would not qualify to serve as chair then without having had prior counsel experience?
Yes, this is Sarah Bakke for the record. Not necessarily. You know, I don't know if someone who's fresh out and squeaky behind the ears would necessarily want to be chair without having at least some prior experience with counsel, but I'm open to others' opinions because you have more experience than me than that. I was just throwing it out there as a thought.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense to discuss for sure. This is Anne again. So the question whether any prior counsel experience would be required in order for an incoming council member to stand for chair. Could we look at that a little bit more closely? Should it be any incoming council member eligible to stand for chair, or should that person have had prior experience on council? Angie, may I get your thoughts on that, please?
Sure, thanks. This is Angie Graves. I think they're going to self-select themselves out of a role that is too much for them. In other words, if they're a new council member, I don't see there being danger or a requirement for us to police their candidacy for chair, especially because there are unforeseen circumstances that we may not even be considering right now. For example, a prior member who's newly elected after 4 years or some period of time of inactivity and non-participation rejoins, and I wouldn't want to necessarily stop that person from standing for election, especially if there's some circumstance that makes it urgent that person should. And I further think that if we are going to restrict that we need to be very circumscribed in our language as to how that came about and why. Thanks.
I'm sorry, Angie, could you repeat the last sentence about the circumstances? I'm not sure I followed that. This is Anne.
Sure. I'm envisioning a community need for perhaps someone who's been inactive for some period of time. I'm sorry. What you didn't hear was after that, which means that we should be very very deliberate and well defined with our language if we're going to restrict them from standing, a new member. Then I think we need to be very specific in our language as to why that is in the event that it needs to be reconsidered or appealed in the future. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Angie. And I see Wolf Ulrich's hand is up, so I recognize Wolf Ulrich.
Yeah, thank you. And I would like to join what Angie was saying. So, for example, Well, in my case, for example, I rejoined the council right now this year, and I used to be vice chair for some years ago. So I wouldn't say so. I would very much be surprised. So if I could not asking for chair in this case. Also, there are other cases where I would say from the beginning there are people, insiders in the business, like, for example, Keith Drazak. So he just joined the council this year as well. So I would say personally, so he is immediately capable to lead the council as well. So there are several examples where this could arise. So I wonder, therefore, what Mary was writing in the chat, that the existing procedures seem to not support that, or not, or seem to not permit that. it would be very it would be good well to see that exactly and how it is formulated. So then we should really think about well to modify that. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Wolfurich. I kind of hear everyone saying that we would be comfortable with what Sarah has referred to as basically a self-selection process, that for incoming council members, if they're not really known and not supported for whatever reason, it's not going to work for them to get elected anyway, and that if they are of the type of experience that Wolf-Ulrich was describing, then they certainly should be readily eligible to stand for chair. So what I'm hearing is that among this small group in the sub-team that we don't see any reason to apply any conditions to the eligibility of incoming council members for chair. If you agree with that, can you please check agree if you are in Adobe Connect?
I'm sorry, ask again. Sorry, this is Angie. Sorry.
If you agree that there should be no conditions on the eligibility of incoming council members because it's not a risk and they'll self-select anyway, in other words, if you agree SCI does not need to set out conditions for eligibility of incoming council members, but rather, just to clarify the operating procedures so that it's clear that they are eligible. Wolf-Ulrich, eligibility criteria to be set may be up to the houses within their own procedures.
So what I would like to say, if I may, and Wolf-Ulrich speaking, I think, the process is, the houses are going to nominate somebody who should stand for the council for the chair election. So the houses are thinking internally, about which person should that be. So they're thinking about the criteria and thinking about whether they will fulfill. There may not be procedures available at the time being. But my question is here really, should the council itself or the general rules prescribe the houses, the kind of the and the categories and criteria they take in order to nominate somebody as a council chair nominee? Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf-Ulrich. Now, that raises a question for me because I'm not familiar enough with the procedure. I'm not aware of a formal procedure in connection with the selections of nominees by the houses. Maybe staff can assist me. Is there a formal procedure for nomination?
And this is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi, Anne. Hi, everybody. So it's not so much a formal procedure. I think typically this has been left to each house, whether it's for the chair or vice chair, as Wolf-Ulrich just stated. But if you look at the GNSO operating procedures, they currently actually are very explicit that each house nominates its candidate and each house is responsible for nominating its candidate. So first, that means that there's no specific eligibility criteria and therefore it's up to each house. And secondly, it would follow that procedurally each house would follow its own process, whether that be formal or informal, documented or not documented. Hopefully that helps. And I had another comment, but I can hold that if you want to finish this point.
I'll come back to you in just a minute, Mary. I wanted to check with Wolf-Ulrich whether he believes that nomination procedure should be modified to specify some criteria that should be documented within each house. I don't know if that's within scope or not in terms of, you know, nominating candidates for a chair, but it sounded as though Wolf Ulrich was suggesting that procedures be adopted for that purpose in each house. Wolf Ulrich, can you help me with that?
Yes, Wolf Ulrich speaking. So as Mary said, you know, there is no formal procedure, at least in our house, in the non-contracted parties house. We are struggling in on other levels, you know, with regards to that. So the procedure is not the issue really. The criteria about that. So I wouldn't personally. I'm not a friend. Well, that the council is setting criteria. There are some criteria with regards to the composition of the. Of the council leadership at all. It means, for example, for the vice chairs, it is that that the vice chairs should not be from the same house, and these kind of limitations are given there. But there shouldn't be some things like, what could it be? Should be an experienced leadership people, or what kind of criteria we should set. I would like to avoid that. Really, leave it as it is. Leave it to the house as well to nominate. They are struggling in each house about that, you know, and they are taking into consideration their criteria with regards to the overall scenario, who could be a person or to lead that council, and that's it. I wouldn't go to that we are going to prescribe some criteria. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Wolf-Ulrich. I personally certainly agree with that. I'm seeing no objection from anyone else, and I'm seeing in chat that Julie recalls procedures were drafted to not include details as to how each house conducts its selections. So let's come back to Mary, who had a second comment, and I don't know if it's on this specific topic, but go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Anne. It's not on this last point that was just discussed, but on the general topic of the eligibility for chair as to whether it could be a new or incoming councillor versus an incumbent or continuing councillor. I just wanted to clarify, especially for folks who are not familiar with the operating procedures, and most people probably aren't and should not be, because that's not necessarily something that governs folks' lives as much as it does some of ours, but that the operating procedures don't specify either way, you know, that the council chair must be a continuing or incumbent councillor, or that the council chair can be a new or incoming councillor. The problem is more of a practical one. For what it's worth, I think I can say that from the staff perspective, the views that Wolf Ulrich, Angie, and Sarah have expressed about, you know, broadening the field and having eligible candidates with the right experience and credentials stand, regardless of when they come on the council, seems right to us as well. But like I said, the problem seems to be more a practical one because of two things. One is the timetable for election. And by that, I meant, you know, the election of each stakeholder groups or constituencies council members, and then the election of the chair. So there's that timetable that's more, I guess, group specific. And secondly, something that's slightly more overarching is the fact that the GNSO council chair is elected to serve for a maximum of 1 year. So typically that's been from AGM to AGM. So if you work backwards from that, you've got the individual councillor elections, and then you know who's your council members or representatives for the next year, and then you can figure out whether and who you want to nominate for chair. So in the sense that if in principle, and it seems like this is what the subgroup will recommend to the full SCI, in principle, the procedure should be clarified to allow and include new as well as incoming councillors, then I think one of the things that this group might want to work through on a future call, not today, is how that might affect the timetables. And while those would not necessarily go into the new draft of the operating procedures, it may be helpful for the SCI to make notes of any potential changes to the way stakeholder groups and constituencies might elect their council representatives. Not so much the way, I mean, I suppose, but the timing. So that could be helpful in explaining your final recommendation. Sorry for going on so long, but I hope that sets some context for everyone.
Oh, thank you, Mary. I think that's a very important point. And if I could boil it down, I would probably say, you know, should we make sure that the incoming members are known before council chair elections are held? And I don't currently, I mean, is it currently the case that you know who's incoming as a member before elections, nominations for election begin? Bofori.
Well, this question is touches as well to other issues which should be thought about here in that context. You know, this is the timing as well when the new members are going to be selected. So and when it's clear, when it's published, so they are selected, and then after that, after their selection and the publication of that, it's also the question how to get them known. So because there is no chance before the AGM to meet them personally, there may be a chance, well, to meet them by phone, because they would have the right, well, to participate in phone calls of the old council from the time they have been selected. On they do not have a vote on that, and normally when they participate, I'm just in a listening mode, so there is little chance to know them. The only real chance shall be at the AGM itself, so before the council is going to meet the new council. So that is it's easier because we will have this Saturday night dinner, and that's a good chance to get to learn from them. So that's what I did this time. So this is to be discussed in the context of the timing.
Okay.
So that's it.
I think we should, as has been suggested, and this is Anne again, discuss the timing of election of chair in our next meeting, perhaps. So we'll definitely put that on the agenda for the next call. There is one thing I would like to note, based on the notes that we have from staff. If we could focus for a moment on possible change over in the notes on the right-hand side of the Adobe Connect. And it says, possible change, a candidate for GNSO council chair does not need to be a member of a house but must be a current or incoming member of the GNSO council. I think that the only language change there is the insertion of current or incoming in front of member, and that the rest of the language comes out of the operating procedure. But what I want to raise is I'm not sure that current would be the correct word. I think we might want to say a continuing or incoming member. I'm a little bit concerned that the use of the word current could mean that a council member who's going off council could be elected as chair. So I think that it's a good suggestion as to the change because it only requires three words, but I think those words should be continuing or incoming, just as they've been changed now in the chat. Does anyone disagree with that? Okay, and what is our feeling about that proposed change, keeping aside the question of timetable and understanding that we have not resolved the timetable at all and that does need to be a subject of discussion? Do those on the call feel comfortable with the staff proposed change as amended? If you agree, please give me an agree sign. All right, there's Will Flourish. Hey, Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I am. I was wondering if you could just restate that again for me one more time.
The proposed change would reflect our consensus in this subteam that a council chair may come either from those who are continuing on the council or a new incoming member of the council.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So we do have a consensus on that, and it is noted that we have that there's an interrelationship here between these eligibility criteria and the timetable for the election process, the nomination and election process that would allow an incoming member to be known and be interviewed by council members prior to the council election, and that we will be discussing that in our next call. So having said that, just to have a brief survey in our few minutes remaining, I'd like to move on to item two, and that deals with a gap that can be created, and I believe was created this year in connection with elections, where there was no conclusive election for chair, and yet the terms of both vice chairs were up. And so there was a bit of a difficult situation as to who would step into the role of chair interim while the acting while the process went on to actually elect a chair. And one thing on other boards that I've served on to address this type of problem has always been the staggering of terms of people who are in a position to act for the chair. And I wonder if it's been ever considered in the GNSO operating procedures to have the terms of the vice chair staggered so that one is never in the situation of not having an individual be able to chair. Maybe Mary or Julie could comment on whether the council has ever looked at staggering terms of vice chairs. Mary? Go ahead.
Hi, Anne and everyone. This is Mary from staff. The short answer to your question is no, and I suspect the reason it lies not in the operating procedures but the bylaws. I guess it's the sort of overarching framework and boundary for this whole issue. The bylaws say that for both the chair and the vice chairs, their term is to be specified by the council, but sets a maximum limit of 1 year. So this would probably still permit some kind of overlapping. So you could say, you know, something like the vice chairs should not be elected or serve at exactly the same time and for the same term. But like I said, I suspect that because the bylaws say 1 year and the practice has been to, you know, have that 1 year begin at the AGM and end at the next AGM, that's just kind of how it's been done. Like I said, we could, as a subgroup, investigate possibly the consequences of doing it or recommending something slightly different. The other thing that I wanted to say is that for the, while this is not specified in the bylaws for either the chair or the vice chair positions, the bylaws do specify some kind of staggering of sorts for the council members, in that certain numbers of councillors from each group would start in odd number years and others would start in even number years. So insofar as the council is concerned, that is dealt with in the bylaws, but there is no specificity about either the chair or the vice chair in that respect. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. And is that because council members serve for 2 years?
This is Mary again. I believe so. So I think, you know, in essence, what the bylaws say about the council members generally really is to address the problem we're discussing. It's just that they don't actually say that for the chair and the vice chair, since it's just a maximum of.
Right. Okay. Wolf-Ulrich, your comments, please.
Yes, thank you, Anne. We're already speaking. I think it seems to be we are a little bit captured by the existing rules and the existing timing and which are set in the bylaws and in the order of procedures here. And we should think about first, so what is the reason for what we are talking about that? So what would we like to achieve? Is we would like to achieve that we have a continuation in the leadership for in case the chair is not going to be elected at the time he or she should be. So this is a fundamental basis, and I think we all agree, and that should be fixed as well, that we agree here, that this is the goal, continuation in all of this. So then the question is how we can achieve that. And then we are faced with these issues which are raised here, that there may be a break in that, since we would like to have that continuation done by the vice chairs, whoever they are, by elected vice chairs. They could be newly elected, they could be incumbent ones who are continuing, you know, their part. So these things should be discussed from my point of view, and then we should see what are the real issues in that. And I think the timing may be then it is an obstacle. It is something which is fixed at the time being, but it is not something I would say which is a big problem to modify it if that is needed to modify. Well, it takes some more effort. If you would like to go to modify the bylaws in that respect, but we should at first think what is necessary and how we see to continue, rather than to meander, you know, around these obstacles and find something which may be a compromise but not be the best one. I'm just starting to discuss that, but I think that is what we should take into consideration as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf-Ulrich. I'm noting that Julie has stated in the chat that the timetable issue is the issue we're discussing right now is part of the timetable issue. And also, you know, I note that sometimes when we're trying to solve a problem, we don't want to over-solve it or make it too complicated. What I'm wondering about is whether we could attribute this problem to the fact that the chair election takes place at the same time as the vice chair election. For example, if you left the terms as they are in the bylaws, 1-year terms, but you specified that the vice chair election did not occur until 1 month or 2 months after the election of the chair, would you have solved the problem? Because you know that within that period of time, if there is an issue electing the chair, that it's going to be resolved by 1 month later or 2 months later. Is that a possible solution? Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Anne. And it's interesting you bring this up, because this was actually something that a few folks have kind of talked about and around, particularly in the context of what happened in the last election round. And I would say that answer, at least initially to your question, is yes and no, but possibly more a no. And the reason is that, again, going back to the bylaws, two things. Let me take a step back. The first thing is that actually as it already stands, while it's not stated anywhere, the practice is that the vice chairs are never elected, appointed, or selected until after the chair is confirmed for a variety of reasons, one of which is, of course, that, you know, the chair cannot be a member of the stakeholder group of either of the vice chairs. So until you know who the chair is, it's kind of hard to get a vice chair. Another reason, I think, as some of you know, is just getting the practical timetable and getting people and different constituencies, for example, to agree on a candidate and so forth. So that's already the practice. But then what we run up against is that council members' terms start and end at an AGM. So, and that's kind of the genesis, I guess, or partial genesis for this problem coming to the SEI. So even if one were to say that, for example, the SEI were to say, the vice chair shall not be elected until after a chair is confirmed, or, you know, the vice chair shall not be elected until a month after the chair is confirmed, and they shall serve for a year after that. We would still run into the problem if, you know, their term ends the following AGM and they haven't served their full year.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mary. I see that that is a very practical problem. We are coming to the end of our time together today. I would suggest that this particular topic of election of vice chairs, that we all think about it, perhaps discuss on the list, and that we take this up as a first item at the beginning of our next call. Is there anyone who has any final comments with respect to that? It may be helpful for staff to provide us with the specific language in the operating procedures pertaining to election of vice chairs in order for us to consider this more closely. Is that okay with everyone? Does anyone disagree with that approach? Okay, so I'll ask staff to put out on the list the election of vice chair procedures and vice chair eligibility for consideration of how we might solve this problem for council, and we'll take that up as our first agenda item in the next call. And we will also, after that discussion, talk much more about timetable and how timetable affects these elections. And I thank you, everyone, for your participation. Look forward to our next discussion. I just want to keep this to 1 hour because I know everyone is busy. Thank you all. Oh,
thanks,
you're going to
as noted, Wolf Ulrich has requested a doodle for the next call when he is clear on his schedule. So staff will handle that.
Oh,
okay,
you.
Very good. I think it would be a good idea to try to do our calls every 2 weeks or so. I hope there's no disagreement on that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay. You too, bye.
Thank you very much, Ian. You may now stop the recordings. This closes today's call.